Governor Tony Evers is confident that there's a nonpartisan way to fund the state's network of roads, bridges, and transportation. We're examining a new transportation task force on the first half of the state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers announced who will be in this group that looks at the comprehensive needs of Wisconsin's transportation system. In his State of the State address last month, he called for input and compromise across the aisle.
While I know that caucus members in both houses support different approaches to solving our transportation funding crisis, it's going to take sacrifices and compromise to find a long-term, comprehensive solution that works for everybody.
What solutions would you like the new transportation task force to explore? What do you think we should do to fund our roads? Are you open to gas taxes or wheel taxes? What about tolls? Would you like the state to borrow to fund new projects? Call in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. Laurel, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So when did the governor propose this task force and who is in it?
So as we heard in the clip there, he talked about this in the State of the State. After that, it was a couple weeks after that, that he announced the members of the task force, those 34 members. And they represent a wide variety of industry on this task force. It's actually pretty interesting when you sort of look at the different groups that were asked to weigh in. You've got representatives from agriculture, from local government, from all sorts of transportation associations. So groups that represent ports and railways and airports. And then you have some that were maybe not as directly logical, at least to me at first. You've got a Realtors Association, you have a Tourism Association, and then some state senators and representatives as well.
So what priorities were laid out for them? What guidance do they have here?
So what the governor told them to do is just try to work together, come up with a bipartisan solution that we think is going to work for everybody. Obviously, this has been a very polarizing political issue over the past several years in Wisconsin. Before the group's meeting last week, the Department of Transportation Secretary Designee Craig Thompson said what he wanted members to do was just share their opinions, what their priorities are for transportation in Wisconsin, how the transportation system as it is right now is impacting what they do, how it makes it more difficult to do their job or maybe easier, and what they'd like to see moving forward from the state budget.
So they're supposed to just lay it on the table, every issue that they had, like put it out there. What were you able to learn about that discussion?
So we actually got a nice report from the Department of Transportation after that first meeting that outlined what they were able to do. Reporters came in before and heard the governor's remarks, but weren't there for the full meeting. Essentially, what happened during that first meeting, they were briefed on the budget for the Department of Transportation, which is, of course, as budgets often are, kind of complicated, multifaceted. So folks that maybe are on the ground and experience the state's transportation system, but don't know the nuts and bolts of how it's funded. They were brought up to speed on that. They were also briefed on things that are impacting and sort of challenging the state's transportation system in terms of balancing the needs of cyclists, pedestrians, the amount of freight and passenger railroad that's moving through the state. And then after they had those briefings, so they were all kind of on the same playing field, they had breakout sessions where they identified different priorities and discuss some potential recommendations.
So they got a primer here on transportation in Wisconsin. And how big, though, is the funding pie for transportation?
So the last state budget was $76 billion. But for transportation, it was $6.8 billion. So it's a sizable chunk of the state budget overall. And state resources actually pay for 60% of that budget. We get about 26%, I believe. Yep, 26% from the federal government. And then 7% is from bonding. Those are kind of the biggest chunks for state transportation funding. Now, interestingly, when you look at that 60% piece of the pie, the vast majority of that is gas taxes and vehicle registration fees.
We're talking about the newly formed task force to address the state's transportation funding problems. WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White is with us, gathering your thoughts as well. What solutions would you like the new task force to explore? What do you think we should do to fund our roads? Are you open to gas taxes or wheel registration fees? Would you like the state to borrow to fund new road projects? Do you think the state needs to roll back large projects and focus on repairs? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So as we break down transportation funding and you give us the pie chart there, where do we see different fees coming in, such as wheel registration and gas tax, and how big of a piece is that funding?
So that is really substantial. So that's, you know, I believe it's 99%, something like that. It's, I think it's in the high 90s of that state portion of the pie. So state funds pay for 60% of that $6.8 billion in the last state budget. 90-something percent of that 60% is gas taxes and vehicle registration fees and other fees like that, which is, I think, why they have been so prominent in the discussion over transportation revenue, right? Mm-hmm. If that makes up the biggest piece of the state pie and what the state can control, and a lot of folks are pushing for more revenue for the state, well, you look at those revenue generators and see, maybe can we bump those a little bit to make that piece of the pie go a bit further.
The State Department of Transportation has canceled some major road projects in recent years. Is our transportation funding model causing this? Is it stunting expansion and growth?
So that's something that has been at the heart of the transportation debate in Wisconsin. There have certainly been delays on road projects, reevaluation of priorities, sort of shifting which projects are getting done, what's not getting done, et cetera. I think the two different sides of the argument there are, one is one group saying, this isn't acceptable, we need more revenue, we need more money to be able to keep these projects moving more quickly and to do more projects. Now, the other side of the debate is, we just need to work within our means and we need to be more responsible and more strategic. And so you kind of have that very fundamental clash there. And it's been difficult for lawmakers to find common ground and a balance.
Where are we with tolls? Has a toll discussion come back?
Absolutely. And tolling, I think, is really interesting because the tolling discussion has been happening for several years in Wisconsin. And the state has actually paid for a study of what tolling would look like in the state. That was approved by state lawmakers several years ago. And so it's kind of always been on the back burner and something that has been floated and looked at in more depth. That's something that the secretary designee of the State Department of Transportation said is on the table right now for this discussion. But the thing about tolling is, say that it's approved in the state budget, it takes quite a bit of time to get tolling up and running in a state before it can start generating revenue. So you can say, all right, we get that approved now. I believe the timeline is 2 years before any money starts coming into the state. And then there's the debate about where do you put tolls? And that's something that Governor Scott Walker weighed in on, former Governor Scott Walker. He said he wanted to put tolls up that would be more more targeted at folks coming in and out of the state, maybe folks from Illinois coming up for vacation, things like that. He didn't want Wisconsin residents to be bearing the major brunt of that tolling. So that'll be part of that discussion for sure.
So certainly tolling there in flux in the discussion. Mm-hmm. Talking with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White about new task force that's charged by the governor to address the state's transportation problems. It includes 34 members from a wide swath of sectors. What do you think about this task force approach to solving transportation? Has your city or county found solutions to keep up with road maintenance without going into debt? Tell us how, and what would you like lawmakers to know about infrastructure quality in your area? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about a new transportation task force on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A year ago, U.S. News & World Report ranked Wisconsin 44th in the country for its road conditions, a slight improvement from its 49th ranking in 2017. Historically, transportation funding has sharply divided Republican leaders during state budget negotiations. What solutions would you like the new Transportation Task Force to explore? What do you think we should do to fund our roads? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel White stays with us. She is WPR's state capitol reporter. And Laurel, we heard from Ruth from West Allis who couldn't stay with us, but she said she wouldn't object to a few cents of an increase for a gas tax because the local roads are really in need of repair. And it sounds like Clint in Sun Prairie has perhaps a similar look at it there. Clint, good morning.
Hello. Yeah, so thinking about this task force and what they're going to be looking at, you know, one of the things I would hope that their objectives would be is how can we be transparent with the taxpayers of Wisconsin and how whatever we decide to do would benefit the, you know, the state of Wisconsin, and just knowing that tourism is such a big part of our economy, if there's a way that we can just see how, whether it's a gas tax or whatever they come up with, that we can see that we're getting a return on our investment. So hopefully there will be some sort of transparency into that that will help this move along, whatever solution they come up with.
Clint thinks, can a gas tax have that transparency that Clint is looking for?
You know, I think that that's a really interesting point and something that this task force might be more able to do than lawmakers have been able to do in the past, because there have certainly been plenty of lawmakers that have been pushing for more transportation funding, more revenue for transportation, and they've cited tourism as a reason for that. You know, having good roads for people to travel through the state, get up north, get to a cabin, a vacation rental, etc. But perhaps having these transportation groups, or these tourism groups rather, on the task force to participate in the discussion, to present this report at the end and say, hey, we're tourism experts. We believe that, you know, the state brings in this much money. We think roads might be impacting it negatively by this much. You know, I think that's a way to have these different stakeholders in a little bit more prominent place, perhaps, for the state, to have them sort of in the spotlight. It's certainly something that we haven't done before, at least since I've been around covering state politics, to have these individuals front and center in the debate.
Let's go to Mike joining us from Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi. A while ago, I made a proposal. It was kind of unusual, and it was well publicized, but a lot of controversy over it. It was basically to fund the road building infrastructure that may not be needed, actually, because we would use money to reward people who pay people who drove less miles annually with their vehicles, and therefore reduce the wear and tear on highway and the need for more expansions of highway, and the money that would come from that would become from reduced highway construction money.
What do we know about that proposal of rewarding for driving less?
That's interesting. That's something I actually haven't heard about. I think an interesting follow-up for me on that would be, I think generally the most wear and tear for roads comes from those heavyweight semis that are hauling heavy materials. And I think it would be pretty darn difficult to incentivize those folks not to use the roads as they're using it for commerce. I'm not sure how much getting kind of, the family car off the road, how much getting some of those off might impact road conditions. But that's interesting. That's an interesting idea.
There's some political history with this topic. How did transportation funding become this contentious debate in the state legislature?
Well, this was a really big deal, as I'm sure you remember, in the last state budget. It was the major reason the state budget was delayed by about 10 weeks. The state budget's due on June 30th. The last budget was just passed in September. And that was because of a very public disagreement between the Republican leaders of the state legislature. I think we're pretty used to kind of the back and forth between the two parties, but this was a high profile clash within one party about how to move forward on this debate. And it's really, it comes down to the tax increases, I think, and who is comfortable with a tax increase and how much. There was a discussion from Governor Walker about if we're going to raise the gas tax, we need to cut another tax a corresponding amount. And, you know, that adds another piece to the puzzle. So I think that, you know, over the years, it's been a fundamental debate about raising those funds to get more revenue and by how much and what other conditions are tacked onto it.
Let's go to Mary Kay joining us from Kenosha. Good morning, Mary Kay.
Good morning. To promote alternative transportation and to end a lot of gridlock, I think we should be putting a tax on the people that sell vehicles.
A tax on people who sell vehicles, so looking at car dealerships?
Yes.
Mary Kay, have you seen this work elsewhere?
Have I what? No, I just know it would probably, people would say before they're going to pay a lot of money for cars that are ready to fall apart, that they would rather take a different form of transportation.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mary Kay. I appreciate it. Yeah. So, you know, as communities throughout the state have been putting wheel taxes on ballots and invoking other measures to find more local funding for road repair and construction, do we know if state lawmakers are encouraging these types of local funding or if they'd like to get to a stronger statewide model?
That's a huge part of the debate. Some lawmakers are saying that that should be up to the community. That if communities choose to put more money into their local infrastructure, then they should have the power to do that, and that's great, but it shouldn't be mandated by the state. So that's a big part of the debate. Others are saying these local communities shouldn't have to vote to tax themselves more, that that resource should come from the state. That's the state's responsibility. So again, you have a very fundamental debate here. You've got the debate about taxes that we were talking about before, and then you have a debate about local control and the role of state government and how much it should be involved in people's lives. So I think that that's certainly something that's going to continue as this debate evolves for this budget cycle.
Do we know how much power this task force will have in whatever it ends up offering the governor in terms of proposals?
Well, I think that because this was something that was created by the governor in a high-profile way, he mentioned it in his State of the State address, he's talked about it frequently, obviously made those remarks at the first meeting. I think he's going to make a point of letting folks know what the results of the task force are. And it would be my guess that he'll work to include those recommendations as he can in his state budget proposal, which is expected at the end of this month. So I think because it's created by the governor and sort of the governor, and he's able to make his budget proposal, of course, autonomously from the state legislature, I think the task force could have a fair amount of say. Now, how far the state legislature runs with whatever the governor includes from the task force in his budget proposal is certainly yet to be seen.
Do we know how the public feels about any one of these proposals? Is there any polling out there or any data?
There is. So we actually just got some brand new polling from Marquette University about the gas tax. This is something that that group has done polling on before. As of right now, it's a little bit underwater in terms of raising the gas tax in Wisconsin. Only 42% of those surveyed favored raising the gas tax or vehicle registration fees to pay for roads. 52% said they would prefer to keep gas taxes and fees where they are. So if the task force does recommend doing that, lawmakers get on board with it, lawmakers are going to have to do a little bit of work to drum up some public support.
And the budget is coming soon. Will we see some of these strategies from the task force emerge in the next few weeks, or is that too fast?
Is it too fast? State government does often move slowly, all forms of government. So I think they're working to move pretty quickly on this. There's another meeting coming up. They're having different meetings across the state for this task force to talk to different stakeholders and get input from different folks. So I think that that they're aiming to move quickly on this. And as I said, the governor's budget proposal is coming up later this month, and I think they want to be a part of that. So in terms of state government, this will be working at light speed.
Transportation funding, as you had mentioned, has always held up the state government in the past. Do you make any predictions of that playing out again with the new governor? Where does this move forward?
I think this is going to be a huge part of the debate. This was a huge part of the governor's campaign. When Governor Tony Evers said something about everything being on the table for road funding in Wisconsin, that became kind of a flashpoint and something that former Governor Walker really pushed back on. So obviously voters chose Governor Evers. He's in office. He said all options were on the table, but he didn't win by a huge amount. So I think the state is divided about this, and that certainly has been reflected by state lawmakers in the past, and my guess would be in the future.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR's State Capitol reporter, and we've been talking about a new bipartisan task force that's trying to solve the funding crunch over the state's transportation network. Up next, it's news. Then the State Capitol report continues. State Senator Andre Jacques joins us to discuss new legislation surrounding prostitution. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Bill circulating at the state capitol would institute a surcharge fine on people convicted of soliciting or patronizing prostitutes or keeping a place of prostitution. We're taking a closer look at the legislation that's being brought back this legislative session. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Is prostitution an issue in your community? What kind of effect has it had? Do you wish that there were harsher penalties for people who keep the business of sex work running? Or do you think the blame and therefore the punishment should fall on all participants? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Andre Jacques is a Republican state senator from De Pere, representing the 1st Senate District. State Senator Jacques, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Great to be back.
So you, along with Republican State Senator Van Wongar, Democratic Senator Lena Taylor, and Republican Representative Janelle Branchen, are resurfacing this bill that would impose this fine. Why did you want to bring it back?
Well, it's certainly, I think, a very important measure to attack the scourge of human trafficking from both the side of providing additional resources to law enforcement, as well as, very importantly, very needed resources for victims of human trafficking. And it's really a demand-side bill, looking at what other states, most notably Florida and Washington State, have done recently. And it's something that has had very broad bipartisan support. I was very pleased that it passed unanimously out of the Assembly Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee last session, 4-1 in the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. So it is something that, to the extent that we have had public hearings, it has been something that we've been able to make the case for with my colleagues. It is something very important to address the problem that we've had here in Wisconsin. Milwaukee actually is kind of recognized as the sex trafficking capital of the Midwest. You know, not the Twin Cities or Chicago, but Milwaukee, in part because of our location in between the two along major interstates. But it's something that spreads from there to the Fox Valley and really to every portion of the state of Wisconsin. It's become very mobile and, of course, utilize the Internet to really explode.
Well, we'll go to Milwaukee in just a moment and explore it there. But when you say this is a demand-side bill, help us understand what you mean by that.
Sure, and I apologize. So basically, I was sitting down with one of the leaders of iHeartWorld, which is one of the charities that works directly with victims of human trafficking here in the Fox Valley area. And that was really how I got this bill. Was he was expressing the need to do something to really make people think before they kind of feed into the sex trafficking industry. Right now, the fines that are being imposed are not significant enough to keep people from not going back and you know, basically paying the fines quietly and continuing to reoffend. And this is something that is going to really make people think twice. I think we actually had one of the investigators from the Brown County Sheriff's Department that had spoken at a hearing about how, you know, it's like with drug dealers, once you start messing with their money, and this is something that, you know, you have to make it hurt a little bit on the financial side for people to, you know, really think about some of the consequences. And of course, the human consequences are much greater in terms of the lives that are altered or just terribly changed. So it is something that. Sorry, go ahead.
Would $5,000 surcharge, would that be enough to make an impact? Would that make a difference?
Well, and that's what we've been hearing from Florida and from Washington State, both of which are recognized by the Polaris Project as kind of best practice states. Wisconsin isn't that far behind. We've been making just a number of advances, but I mean, one of the areas where we fall short is in resources for victims of human trafficking. That's something that this is going to help solve. And, you know, when we look at things like safe harbor laws to make sure that we are treating underage individuals involved in trafficking as victims, we need to make sure that we provide the resources to make sure that they are able to be rehabilitated, to be able to, you know, move beyond the life and get out of that cycle, which is, you know, unfortunately otherwise kind of catch and release is what we've seen. And we really need to get those interventions earlier, just as we see that in a whole host of other areas, drunk driving or other areas in the criminal justice system.
We're talking about a bill that would impose a surcharge fine on anyone convicted of soliciting prostitutes. State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere stays with us to talk about this legislation. How would you like to see the state address the issue? Do you think the state has more pressing issues to address because the people who buy and sell sex are willing participants? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Some lawmakers are, as you mentioned, reviving safe harbor legislation, which would prohibit minors from being prosecuted for prostitution. Would your bill work in concert with that legislation? And if so, is this a step toward more comprehensive human trafficking legislation?
Oh, absolutely. You know, so when you look at the safe harbor legislation, and really what really helps with that in Wisconsin, as we've seen in other states, is it requires the CHIPS case be entered in the case of a minor that's being trafficked so that there is that opportunity to be able to get the minor out of the control of their trafficker and to really take a look at the situation as opposed to, basically levying a punishment and then they disappear or continue to be trafficked. So what this bill does is it provides, at least according to the last DOJ estimates, upwards of a $500,000 a year towards services for human trafficking victims. And that's really going to be something that, of course, we have some issues just for child neglect funding as it is, caseloads and the like that I'm certainly going to be pressing my colleagues on as we go through the budget process. But these are just funds that we don't have right now to operationalize the services that need to be a component of safe harbor laws to make sure that we are providing those resources. And that's something that my colleague, Senator Darling, is taking the lead on the safe harbor legislation. I know that a number of my Democratic colleagues are on that bill as well. My hope would be that the Finance Committee will see fit to move this forward. Of course, Senator Darling is the Senate co-chair of the Finance Committee. I've talked with her about this. That's kind of where this bill got held up last time, I think because of concerns from some of the Finance Committee members. Even though it's a revenue upper for the state of Wisconsin, it adds to the state's bottom line, it also, I guess, creates expenditure authority for those funds. So
what is the holdup then in terms of the financial aspect? And you know, how do you want to approach that this time?
Well, you know, I think it's an education process, just as certainly that process has taken place with law enforcement to no longer see prostitutes as essentially criminals, but as victims, people that are being trafficked as victims. And as we've kind of created that transformative process that has, I think, taken hold now within the law enforcement community, which is very strongly behind my bill, which I'm pleased to see. But with some of my colleagues, there's maybe still a little bit of an outdated notion of who is responsible for prostitution and whether or not there should be significant penalties attached to those that are feeding an industry that is just poisonous to our culture and to our kids.
Roughly a decade ago, the people who were punished for prostitution were largely women. How have we seen that change, and why is that important?
Well, I think certainly when you talk to law enforcement, especially the law enforcement officers that I worked with in coming forward with this bill, they do see the women, and to be men as well, but involved in prostitution as the victims rather than the perpetrators. And it's because if you look into how the people who are being trafficked are controlled by their pimps, it is, just there's a lot of manipulation and coercion and force in many cases. Just the elaborate setup is unbelievable, but something that I've worked a lot in domestic violence issues in the past, and certainly there are some of the same elements of manipulation and control there. But there are threats of force or using family members or drugs or a large number of other things to really maintain control over trafficked individuals, and it's something that psychologically is very difficult for them to break hold from. It's kind of like Stockholm syndrome to a certain extent.
Well, up to this point, we've been using terminology like prostitution and sex trafficking almost interchangeably, and some might say that prostitution is different from sex trafficking because it involves two willing participants. It is work in exchange for money, whereas sex trafficking involves coercion. How do you see it, and what do we know about the lives of sex workers?
Well, I mean, in Wisconsin, I guess you could say in Nevada, prostitution may be legal in some areas, but in Wisconsin, it's not. And, really, there's a reason why I am talking about prostitution and sex trafficking interchangeably, and that is because it really isn't between two willing participants. There is something else that is typically driving it on the part of the trafficked individual. Now, it certainly is a willing choice for the individual who is soliciting and then maybe engaging in sexual activity with somebody that they are paying to do so. But for the most part, what we have found is that the individuals who hold themselves out for prostitution are often being controlled in doing so.
We're talking about a bill that would impose a surcharge fine on anyone convicted of soliciting prostitutes. State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere stays with us to talk about the legislation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is prostitution an issue in your community? Let's talk about it. We'll be back for more State Cap Report in a minute on the Ideas Network. A bill proposed by Republican State Senator Andre Jacques would require people convicted of soliciting or patronizing prostitutes to pay $5,000. The money would then be used to provide treatment and services for victims of sex trafficking. We're talking about the bill on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you have aligned to State Senator Jacques, who stays with us. Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones now with Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. I'm just confused by this. Just make it legal. I don't understand. Government should not be involved in morality. I don't understand why we're talking about, on the liberal side, about legalizing weed to take the crime element out of it. Use the same argument on prostitution. It's a victimless crime if it's legal.
All right. So Steve there saying just legalize it. State Senator, go ahead.
Well, laws are moral judgments. And obviously that goes from everything from the tax code to the criminal justice system. But there are very real impacts on society. And, of course, government is very involved in providing a safety net and treatment for individuals that are negatively impacted in society. And that's something that we see just tremendous negative impacts on individuals caused by sex trafficking. And this is, I think, very important bipartisan legislation to help turn that around.
Let's go to Rodney in Madison now. Hi, Rodney.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I got to agree with Steve. I think the bill addresses, like, the low-level prostitution, but my thinking is that it's going to evolve into another form, and people are going to go into hiding, which makes it a lot more dangerous, and you're not going to be able to find those victims that you're seeking out.
So you think that if this type of bill goes into effect, that people will just take what they're doing more underground?
Yes.
And what about, like, dating sites and the internet? What are your thoughts there?
I think that's going to be the next evolution of prostitution, where they're going to use dating sites to find potential customers.
State Senator, your thoughts there?
Well, that's certainly, we've already seen prostitution driven well underground to the dark corners of the internet. Of course, that was Backpage, and there are various other variations of it. I understand that the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin has an issue with my legislation, and certainly their members are welcome to their opinion, but I think that human trafficking, sex trafficking, prostitution, all very important to be addressed. And
for those who aren't close to this issue, how does prostitution and sex trafficking affect a community?
Well, I mean, certainly you look at drug trafficking is actually kind of tied in with sex trafficking, many of the same individuals and being involved there. But it's something that you look at the trafficked individuals and the human cost, as well as just the impact that it has on destroyed families. There's a lot of collateral costs, and of course, human trafficking itself is considered a modern form of slavery in terms of the methods that are being used to control the individuals that are being trafficked. So it really is something where you're talking about a loss of freedom and liberty for those individuals that are not on the side that are paying for it. So it's something that it has a tremendous cost to society.
Well, let's hear about those costs. Let's bring in Corey joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Corey.
Hi there. I'm just calling to respond to an earlier caller who wanted to say that if prostitution was made legal, that it would be a victimless crime in essence, and that why is government getting into the business of morals? And I work in Milwaukee. And I'm a social worker, and I work with the schools and with a lot of different people who are working on the issue of trafficking and especially exploitation of minors and adults. And in my work, we track kind of the ways that young people start to get involved with the trade, which is kind of what they call it. And young people might think that they are doing this on their own or it's a choice, but frequently, adults are not just getting into this business when they're 18 years old. Like, there's a lead up to it. And so I just want to express that is not a victimless crime. I'm not going to say I don't have statistics, but I have seen them. But a lot of folks that go into this as adults are not just new to it, and they have histories of trauma, and they go through a whole lot that makes them at risk for doing this work. And I just need to say $500,000 allocated for this is not enough. We are seeing this in our communities, and we need to really put more money towards servicing young people in evidence-based ways so that they can get out of this and they can start, healing. It's really pervasive.
Corey's saying there that a $5,000 surcharge is not enough. Senator Jacques?
Well, I think what she was saying is that the amount that would be raised from it is not sufficient, and I would agree with that. I think that certainly is $500,000 plus that would go to victim services would be in addition to the current state allocation, but it is something that it's been difficult to get lawmakers to pass budgets on either side to really look at it as a priority. So it's a way of providing some additional resources. I'm not saying that it's going to get us to the appropriate level, but I certainly appreciate the comments. And certainly what we do find are that unaccompanied youth are immediately targeted by predators and usually within 48 hours are approached by some individual looking to basically exploit and abuse them. And I very much appreciate Corey's comments. It's something that, there's going to certainly remain to be, work will remain to be done, even if we get this passed, absolutely.
Let's bring in Nadine in Cottage Grove on this. Hi, Nadine.
Hi. I definitely agree with the idea of, using the money towards trying to help the people who are victimized with human trafficking. However, I think we're forgetting that as society, women are kind of taught and embraced to use their bodies as currency, and there are women and men in the profession who choose to want to use that power of their body as currency, as a power for them, so they can actually make some money. There are some people who actually really do choose this profession and aren't people who are victimized, and I think as a society, we want to believe that that's not actually a thing. So I think the having the money put towards actual victims than, towards adults who might actually be choosing this as their preferred lifestyle, I think it's something that we're refusing to look at, that people might actually choose this as their actual choice, their preferred method of employment.
Nadine, bringing up the greater societal look at this, State Senator Jacques, you went at this last time. You're bringing this back. How are you working to get this bill through this time around?
Well, certainly, again, it had significant support. It just kind of ran out of time at the end of session. And certainly, last session, I was in the State Assembly. Senator Van Wongard was my Senate lead on the bill. I did have Senator Taylor's support, very strong support in bringing this bill forward last session as well. Of course, now being in the State Senate, I'm going to have a little bit more ability to hopefully make sure that it gets through the clutter of everything else out there and gets enacted into law. So it is something that, again, has very significant support on both sides of the aisle in both houses. And it's just going to be making my case to finance committee members and to legislative leadership, but just something that I believe strongly in. And, I think we'll be able to get it done.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Great to be on the program.
Andre Jacques is a Republican state senator from De Pere. He authored the prostitution surcharge bill we've been talking about in the state capitol report. Just ahead, what happens when ambulances with patients in critical condition are turned away from crowded emergency rooms? We hear about ambulance diversion and what to do about it. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.